It was a lonely and dark world. The people who were living in that world were hurting people and lost people and scared people and confused people. Some of the people were fighting other people. Some were intolerant of other people. Some were suspicious of other people. Some were jealous of other people. Now, the worst part of this world and for the people living in this world was that there wasn't any hope. Can you imagine living in a world without any hope? No hope that life could or would get any better? These days were not good days for the world that God had created. You see, God tried to help the people. God sent prophets and kings and judges to help them, but the people wouldn't listen. They seemed to prefer the darkness to the light. And then one day God said, I don't like this. I don't like what my world has become. It's too dark, it's too greedy, it's too violent, it's too hopeless. No, God said, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to bring hope back into my world. And this is how God did it. On the very first Easter morning, about 2,000 years ago, Mary Magdalene made her way to the tomb where the body of Jesus had been laid. As she neared the tomb, she saw that the stone which had covered the entrance to the tomb had been moved away. Now, a chill ran up and down Mary's spine, and as she bent down and looked into the tomb, it was gone. Jesus' body, it was gone. Mary ran back and she found the other disciples and she said, they've taken my Lord. The tomb is empty and I don't know where they've put him. Peter and one other disciple, they ran out to the tomb just to check Mary's story, and sure enough, the tomb was empty. Jesus' body was gone. He wasn't there. It was a mystery. Peter and that other disciple, they went back to their homes, but Mary stayed behind. And she was crying. And as she was crying, she bent down and she looked in the tomb again. And this time, she saw two angels. And both angels were dressed in white, sitting where the body of Christ had been laid. Why are you crying? These two angels asked Mary. They've taken my Lord, she said, and I don't know where they've put him. And then, right about then, she heard another voice, and it was a strange yet a familiar voice. Why are you crying? This voice asked. And who are you looking for? Poor Mary. She was confused. She thought that the voice was a gardener. Please, sir, she said, tell me where he is, and I'll go get him. And then this voice, right at this very time, said Mary's name. Mary. Mary. Mary recognized the voice right away. She turned around, she hopped up and down, she whooped and she hollered, and Mary danced for joy. And get this, she was the very first one in the entire world to shout these words, He is alive, Jesus is alive. And then she ran back and she found the disciples again, and she shouted to them the good news. I have seen Jesus, and he's alive. I have seen Jesus, she said, and he's alive. You see, at that moment in time, it was like the old world stopped, and a new world had begun. There was no more darkness in the world. Jesus, the Son of God, was in the world. So, why would Jesus or God do something so new and so different? Do you have any idea? During the late 19th century and early 20th century, there was a Norwegian explorer by the name of Nansen, N-A-N-S-E-N. On one of his many expeditions, he tried to measure the depth of the ocean at several different spots. He didn't have any luck. He'd take his instruments, and he'd send them down as deep as he could, but they could never, ever reach the bottom. And so in his log, in his journal, he'd write down these three words. He'd say, he'd put down the depth, that he, how far he got, then he'd say, deeper than that. Several times he tried to measure the depth of the ocean, but each time he'd write down deeper than that. This is how much God loves us. Deeper than that. We can never know the depth, nor the width, nor the height of God's love. It's deeper, and it's wider, and it's higher than anything we can imagine. It's best for us simply to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is how much God loves us, deeper than we can imagine. I'm not sure if this story is true. I kind of hope it's true. It's a story about a young Polynesian man by the name of Johnny Lingo. Johnny was the most eligible young man in his entire village. Any young woman, and I mean any young woman, would burst out singing and dancing just at the thought of being Johnny's wife. Johnny was a trophy catch. If Johnny was a walleye, he'd be hanging on somebody's wall. He was a jackpot. He was one in a million. Any woman would be glad to be his wife. Well, one day, to everybody's surprise, Johnny had a surprise announcement. He had decided on a wife. Now, this is how they did things back in that Polynesian village. He decided on a wife. Mahana was her name. Mahana. Most of the villagers, especially the young women of that village, they couldn't believe it. You see, Mahana was your Plain Jane of Plain Janes. She wasn't top shelf when it came to good looks or charm or confidence or anything else. In fact, you might consider Mahana a bit on the homely side. What was Johnny thinking about? The gossipers gossiped. He could have done better, they said, for sure. But Johnny's mind was made up. Mahana was the one he wanted. Well, they had a custom in that village, a tradition, where the groom's father was entitled to a dowry from the bride's father was entitled to a dowry from the groom. And so that meant that Johnny would have to meet with Mahana's father to kind of negotiate the proverbial how much. Most of the people in the village figured that Johnny should be able to get Mahana pretty cheap. In fact, some of the villagers said that Mahana's father should pay Johnny something just to take her off of his hands. At best, the local odds makers guessed, at best, Mahana was worth one cow to Johnny. One cow and no more. Now, this is how they did things again in that village. Cows and chickens and other farm animals were used as currency for the Polynesian people when it came to trading. So, one cow. Well, Mahana's father surprised everybody when he asked for not one cow, like everybody expected, but three cows. Three cows? What's he thinking about? The people wanted to know. Didn't he want his daughter to get married? This is crazy, they said. Three cows was a huge, huge dowry for any daughter. So, it was up to Johnny. What would Johnny do? What would he say? People kind of waited for him to respond. No, Johnny said, I won't give you three cows for Mahana. Three cows, he said, are not enough. Mahana is worth more than three cows. I will give you eight cows. Eight cows. Wow. Unbelievable. No father in that village had ever received eight cows for a daughter before, ever. A long, long, long time ago, God gave not eight cows for each one of us, but something much more valuable. Jesus, the Son of God, was the price that God paid for you, me, and everyone. I'm sure God could have gotten by much cheaper, but no, the Son of God was the price that God paid. You see, God has that ability to see what no one else can see. God can look into our hearts, and regardless of who we are or where we've been or what we've done, God can see the worth and the value and the specialness of each person. The message on the cross and the message of Easter are one and the same. It's God saying to you, me, and everybody else, is God saying, I love you. I've always loved you. I love you the way you are right now, at this moment, at this time. My love for you, God is saying, is deeper than that. It's deeper than you can ever imagine. And so Johnny, he gave the eight cows to his father-in-law. And then about a month or two later, Mahana and Johnny, they came back after a trip. But wait a minute. There's something different about Mahana. She'd changed. She was a beautiful young woman now, far more beautiful than anyone could ever imagine. And you know what happened, don't you? Love will do that to a person. All it took was for someone to love her so much that she could be transformed into the special and beautiful person she always was. On Easter morning, 2,000 years ago, God showed his love for us, that while we were still sinners, while we were still living in the dark and lonely world, God showed his love for us by sending Jesus, the Son of God, into the world to die for us. In his dying, it was God's way of saying to all of you, it was God's way of saying, my love for you is deeper than that. And this, my friends, is Easter's message to all of us.